On Friday on the show, Mark Vandermeer, the voice of the Texans, stated that the defense has gotten better in the first week of free agency, losing Tyrann Mathieu and Kareem Jackson, but signing safety Tashaun Gibson and cornerback Bradley Roby.
That made me nervous.
Do you agree, Seth, that they got better?
I don't agree. It could conceivably have gotten better, but it makes me nervous because I feel like that mindset is a little bit the kind where sometimes you undervalue the players on your own team. It's really hard to value your own players. Like, you either overvalue them or undervalue them. It seems like the ability to properly value your own players might be, like, the key to success in the NFL. Maybe that's what Belichick does better than anybody else. He's able to say goodbye to guys that are overvalued and bring in guys who are undervalued, but also, like, understand what the worth of the guys on his own team. I think Kareem Jackson, for whatever liabilities he has in man coverage, and they are real, you know, like he's getting older. Like, the still overall completeness of Kareem Jackson, his versatility, his savvy, all those things, you're going to miss that. And if anything, what I would say is you're going to miss the consistency, where I'm not so sure that Roby is all that consistent a player or capable of. So on his very best days, he'll be much better than Kareem in man coverage, but I don't know if that's your solution for being a better defense.
You're losing a mainstay from your defense of 9 years. Just think about, from a communication standpoint, what that does, especially when Tyrann Mathieu, who supposedly also had taken a role as a leader with the Texans this past season, also is gone. So now it is essentially Jonathan Joseph, a young Justin Reed, who are the two focal points of a secondary that's changed a lot of parts now this offseason. Tashaun Gibson comes in without knowing what Tayshaun or Bradley Roby can actually bring to the table. They are changing things up. They're not bringing in giant talents. They're bringing in guys to replace people that left.
Right.
To say that it's going to be better, I just think is wrong. You can't definitively know that it's going to be better. At best, they are at the same level that they were before. But we're all of a sudden going to be able to say that a defense that is one injury away from basically not having any reserves is better is, I think, wrong. The idea that a secondary of five guys is going to be healthy for a full season is laughable.
You know what I'd say? They may not have gotten better for this season, but they're going to get compensatory picks so far.
Woo!
The strategy has been good in that they've gotten better in 2020.
Wait
already.
Until the 2020 draft on day number two, deep into Friday night. So you will get the rewards of all of this.
Somebody, compensatory picks are the thing that, like, you know are good, but you have, it'd be like if somebody gave me a free gift certificates for next year's dental appointments or something. I'm like, all right, I know this is good and it'll save me money in the future, but I'm just going to get excited about third, fourth, and fifth round picks in the future. No, I won't. I want my candy and I want it now.
We're discussing the question, is the Texans defense better a week into free agency? And I agree with you guys. It's impossible to know, right? It is impossible to definitively state that they are better right now.
Right. Well,
now, what they have, if I'm going to sell it to you that they somehow got better or may get better, it's that Tashaun Gibson and Bradley Roby provide two things that they didn't really have. Gibson, an actual weapon against tight ends, and Roby just speed.
Right.
Roby provides speed. This team lacks speed, and Tyrann Mathieu and Kareem Jackson are not fast at this point.
And they're going to help you with cap space that you're not going to use. It's for bragging rights about, like, most unused cap space.
Yes.
And the Texans are crushing it because of that, because they have those guys in cheaper numbers. I don't think they should have paid Tyrann Mathieu what he ultimately ended up getting.
Okay.
I don't think he was worth that. I think I can look to various times last year from the Philadelphia game and others where, okay, Tyrann Mathieu's incompleteness as a football player was very evident, and it wasn't like he's the answer, the long-term answer at safety, at that price tag at least. So I'm not too freaked out about that. I'd say most likely, though, they're probably about the same. And what you need to remember is that they won 11 games, and that's awesome, and I give Bill O'Brien a whole lot of credit for being able to manage his way through that 0-3 start and all those other things. But realistically, you can't look at that team last year and say that they were really much better than your average 500 team. There was a whole lot of luck that it took in overtime games and whatnot to get those 11 wins, and that they were awful against good quarterbacks. They're just atrocious versus good quarterbacks. And they were probably, like, in any given year, you play that season again, and if you actually do it versus a good schedule, a tough schedule, instead of the easiest schedule in the league, you're usually going to end up with about an 8-8 record. So that's not good enough to only make incremental improvements or to tread water. because there is no treading water. If you think you're treading water, you've actually gotten worse. Because what else was good last year, Mike? Injuries.
Yes.
The Texans were very fortunate in terms of injuries to starters.
Well, their most important players were ones that stayed healthy.
Right.
Watt, Watson, Clowney, Hopkins until the end. Those guys all stayed healthy.
So, I'm not going to sit here and say they got worse, but I'm not going to sit here and lie to myself and think that, oh yeah, boy, look at all these improvements they've made. They'll definitely be better come September. They need to do what Brian Gain did last year, which was do well with the draft picks you have. He didn't have a first or second rounder last year, but I thought he did very well with the draft picks he had. Brian Gain just needs to have another really strong draft.
And he has put himself in a position where he is forced to have another very strong draft. Mike, Seth, and Paul, on a Monday, this news came down Friday. An investigation is underway into an alleged battery involving a juvenile at the home of Kansas City Chiefs star wide receiver Tyreek Hill. The Chiefs are acknowledging an investigation involving Hill is taking place. Apparently, a three-year-old's arm was broken.
Well, the broken part wasn't in the police report either, I don't think. This is where it's very sketchy in terms of the actual details.
There were two police reports. All I know is that Tyreek Hill's name was in one and it was not in the other. I'll be honest with you guys.
His spouse was in the other one, right?
Yes. I don't think I have any insight to add into Tyreek Hill and what happened because I have no idea what happened. But as far as the football side goes, and obviously that's not as important as the real life stuff goes, but in our purview, if Tyreek Hill was not a member of the Kansas City Chiefs in 2019, this would be the biggest developments in the AFC this entire offseason. I think it's above anything that's happened with New England. I think it's above the Browns getting Odell Beckham.
Tyreek Hill absolutely terrifies defensive coordinators. And everything that makes Pat Mahomes really go, like everything that made Pat Mahomes be so freakishly good for a quarterback just in his second year, it starts with Tyreek Hill and his ability to strike fear in the hearts of defensive coordinators and defensive backs. I'm not saying that Pat Mahomes wouldn't be good without him, but he's not going to be the same MVP caliber performance. Think about some of the great plays last year that Pat Mahomes made and some of those no-look throws and whatnot. A lot of those were possible because Tyreek Hill had such extreme separation, you know, and gave Pat Mahomes a little bit of a buffer, of a cushion of safety that he just simply wouldn't have without those guys. So between losing Kareem Hunt and then Tyreek Hill, it would change the balance of power. This would knock them completely out of it. And I don't know, is there any excuse for the Chiefs? If the Chiefs get rid of Kareem Hunt, is there any excuse for them or precedent for them to actually keep Tyreek Hill? I guess the money.
Well, I imagine that
if this actually were true,
if there's any truth to any of this, then I imagine that he is most likely gone.
But now what are they going to say, though? Because they claim, and this is still cockamamie, they claim that they had to let go of Kareem Hunt because he lied to them about the incident.
That is what they said.
Which is like, all right, so the kicking the girl on the ground wasn't enough, but lying to you was. Okay, I got you. That's why you got rid of him. Fine.
Well,
I don't get that.
Not that it's right or wrong, but isn't the NFL's policy of 6 games for incidents like this, even though they don't actually enforce it at 6 games? But they did have in stone a ruling that was supposed to take place whenever there is an incident like this.
Right, but that's not a question of – this isn't a question of what's the suspension going to be. The question would be, are the Chiefs just going to flat out get rid of them? They flat out got rid of Kareem Hunt. They didn't have to.
Right, and I actually do think it was because Kareem Hunt lied. I think, honestly, if the Chiefs had it their way, they would have liked to keep Kareem Hunt. You want to cut a guy that is that talented? Same thing with Tyreek Hill.
Well, yeah, I mean, but ideally they would have liked him to not have kicked the woman on the ground,
Yes, but
I don't think that they wanted to cut him for non-football purposes. But you think that they would have been able to talk their way into saying, okay, well, he's genuinely sorry and he told us about it and everything. So versus they felt like because he lied to him that there was no hope for
right.
him.
Right. I think with Hunt, they might have given another chance had he not lied. This is interesting with Hill because Hill obviously had the incident that took place when he was at Oklahoma State and you would think, okay, well, he's learned from this. But
and he punched his pregnant girlfriend in the belly. The child in this police report would be that child who had been in the belly when she got punched.
Right. So this is, I think, a little bit different with Tyreek Hill here because it's not even charges. Again, the details are so murky at this point in time. But if this investigation is to uncover something that would look bad on Tyreek Hill, I think Kansas City would probably have to. I mean, just given the fact that they took a chance on a guy who had all of this talent and they were only able to take a chance on him because of what happened to him when he was at Oklahoma State. Excuse me, what he did when he was at Oklahoma State. So I think that if this does lead to something, I think that Kansas City is going to be in a bind. Imagine over the course of less than even a full season of games, less than half a season of games, they go from having an offense with Kareem Hunt and with Tyreek Hill to an offense that is just Travis Kelce and Sammy Watkins, which isn't bad, but I mean, that's a 9-7, 8-8 kind of offense, especially when you factor in that they blew up their entire defense,
well,
coaching staff and personnel-wise this past offseason.
This is obviously the risk that you run when you take chances on character guys. And if Tyreek Hill is not playing on the Chiefs in 2019, to me, I cannot pick Kansas City to win the AFC, period. I would go that far because losing, hypothetically, Hill, Dee Ford, and just the fact that it's hard to get back to that summit when you're 12-4 and you're outscoring the NFL by 144 points and you have the best offense in the league, it's going to be hard to get to that summit again.
So John Dorsey is the GM of the Browns.
Yes.
John Dorsey was the GM of the Chiefs. He's the one that drafted Marcus Peters, Kareem Hunt, and Tyreek Hill. So John Dorsey's notorious for not giving a damn about character. He's already picked up Kareem Hunt after Kansas City let him go. If Kansas City cuts Tyreek Hill, do you assume that he's going to end up in Cleveland?
No, because of the nature of this situation, depending on what happens.
But I don't think John Dorsey cares. I don't think he flat out cares. And Browns fans are already kind of like, oh, okay, you're going to... I guess you're just going to take anybody and everybody. All right, but we're actually like Super Bowl favorites for the first time in a long time, or favorites to go to the Super Bowl in the AFC over a whole bunch of other teams. I think he's going to end up. I think he would end up in Cleveland.
Well, it all depends.
John Dorsey just flat out does not care.
Well, it depends. I think it depends on what happens here. Like if it was found that Tyreek Hill intentionally broke a 3-year-old's arm, I don't think he's ending up playing in the NFL.
I think he would be out too.
I don't feel like that's a crazy statement.
I feel like every step along the way, we always give the NFL way more credit than they deserve. Like every time something like this happens, we're like, oh, he's never playing in the NFL. Oh, well, he just got signed. Yeah, like,
The NFL could
ban Kareem Hunt, we had the same talk about Kareem Hunt. I don't know if Kareem Hunt's going to come back from this one. He was signed within weeks.